All the glory and the praise to the Lord, but we thank the Lord for our mothers. My mother, unfortunately, had to grow up without her mother. Her mother was tragically killed in 1948 when my mother was just 10 years old. My grandfather never remarried after that, and so he had to raise five children by himself. And a very poor home. He was a hard-working man, but they grew up very poorly. But God's grace brought them through. They were in church every time the doors were open. And that's one of the things that I can say that my mother taught me and instilled in me, that we need to be faithful to the house of the Lord. Amen? I'm thankful for the things that we can learn from our mothers, aren't you? And by the way, that's what I want to preach about today is what my mother taught me. If you'll take your Bibles this morning, turn to the book of 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter number 1. 1 Samuel chapter number 1. Find your place there, 1 Samuel chapter 1. Let's stand together as we honor the reading of God's Word. I want to begin reading in verse number 20. I'll read through verse number 28. Bible says, "Wherefore it came to pass, when the time was come about after Hannah had conceived, that she bare a son and called his name Samuel, saying, Because I have asked him of the Lord. And the man Elkanah and his house went up to offer unto the Lord the yearly sacrifice and his vow. But Hannah went not up, for she said unto her husband, I will not go up until the child be weaned, and then I will bring him, that he may appear before the Lord and there abide forever. And Elkanah her husband said unto her, Do what seemeth thee good. Tell thou have weaned him, only the Lord establish his word. So the woman abode and until she weaned him. And when she had weaned him, she took him up with her with three bullocks and one ephah of flour and a bottle of wine and brought him unto the house of the Lord in Shiloh. And the child was young. And they slew a bullock and brought the child to Eli. And he said, O my Lord, as thy soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that stood by thee here praying unto the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition, which I ask of him. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord as long as he liveth." Boy, that's great, isn't it? He was born, she had already given, Hannah had given him to the Lord. To the Lord. He shall be worship the Lord there. I'd like to bring a message this morning on what my mother taught me. This is the story of Hannah and what she taught her young son, Samuel, who became a mighty for God and great of God. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, as we bow before you once again, we thank you for prayer. We thank you for the privilege of being able to open up your word and, Lord, see the example of the life of Hannah. Lord, she was a great mother, a God-fearing mother. We thank you for that today and the example that she lived and left for her young son Samuel. But Lord, we're thankful today for the man that he became and how he was used of God. And when it all is said and done, Lord, he is what he is because of his mother. Lord, today, bless, we pray in this message. Challenge our hearts, especially the hearts of our mothers, Lord, today, and have your will in our life. And we'll thank you. But we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Just a little motherly humor here this morning as we consider the thought of what my mother taught me. I came across this little article. I thought it was very timely, it being Mother's Day, and then hopefully you get a little laugh out of it as well. Maybe you can relate to it. But I came across this little article, and it says, "What My Mother Taught Me." My mother taught me logic. If you fall out of that swing and break your neck, you can't go to the store with me, she told me. If everyone else jumps off of the cliff, would you do the same? So she taught me logic. My mother also taught me humor. When that lawnmower cuts off your toes, don't come running to me. She taught me genetics. You are just like your father. We've heard that before, haven't we? She taught me anticipation. Just wait till your father gets home. Pretty good. She taught me about receiving. You are going to get it when you get home. That's pretty good, isn't it? Anticipation and receiving. She taught me about religion. You better pray that that comes out of the carpet. She taught me about stamina. You'll sit there and eat that spinach until you're finished. Stamina. She taught me about the circle of life. I brought you into this world and I can take you out of this world. I thought that was pretty good. She taught me about justice. One day you will have children, and I hope they turn out just like you. Justice. Lot to be said, isn't it? You know, the Bible has a lot to say about mothers and about children and about the lives that they lead in front of them and the example that they have. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 8 says, "My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother." When we think about the mothers that have taught children greatly and mightily throughout the Scripture, we have many Bible examples. Hannah is just one, and we'll see and focus our attention in a few minutes more on what she taught her son Samuel. But we think about Jochebed, who was the mother of Moses. She taught Moses to be a God-fearing man, and that's exactly what Moses became. I think about the Shunammite woman who taught her children to be generous. I think about Bathsheba that taught her children the value of a virtuous woman. Brother Sean read a little portion of that from Proverbs chapter 31 just a few moments ago. But that's what she taught her children. Elizabeth, the mother of the great John the Baptist, who the Lord said that there's no greater man born of woman than that of John the Baptist. But Elizabeth taught her children to live righteously. We find that many taught their children, or that Mary taught her children, the importance of submission as she yielded to God's will. Can you imagine knowing that you gave birth to the Son of God? Can you imagine that of what she had to yield to, knowing that one day that he would be falsely accused and nailed to an old rugged cross for the sins of all humanity? But yet she submitted to the will of Almighty God. And that's what she taught her children, was the importance of submission. Then, of course, we know Eunice and Lois, who was the mother and the grandmother of the great man Timothy, and how that the Bible reminds us that they taught Timothy the faith that he should have. The faith that he should have. Think about this, that we're all teaching our children, but especially our mothers. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 15 reminds us that a child left to himself will do what? Will bring their mother to shame. I want you to realize this morning of how important and how vital it is, especially for our mothers, to live the type of life that they should live in front of their children. Samuel became the man of God that he was. Why? Because of a God-fearing, God-loving, a devoted mother that was willing to give her life and willing to give her son back to God. She did that. She made a vow unto God that if God would give her a man-child, she specifically prayed for a man-child, and God gave her that, and what'd she do? She fulfilled that vow. She gave Samuel back to him, and as I've said, Samuel became a great and a mighty man of God and was greatly used of God. As I quoted a few moments ago, Proverbs 22:6, the Bible reminds us to train up a child in the way that they should go, and when they are old, they will not depart from it. Sad to say that there are many mothers today that have taught their children not the right way, not the godly way, not the righteous way, but they've taught them in the wrong way. They've taught them not the way that they should go. They're sad to say that many mothers have taught their children to be disrespectful and to be rebels at heart. There are many mothers that have taught their children to be immoral, to be drunks, to use drugs, to use profanity, to lie, to cheat, to steal. Remember, as we sang the song just a few moments ago about being an example. Well, the Bible says we're to be an example of the believer in word and conversation and faith and charity and in purity. But again, sad to say, many mothers have not followed that guideline. Many mothers today have led the example of being gamblers, of loving the world and the things that are in the world, of being unfaithful to their mate and unfaithful to the house of God. And what do we expect? Sad to say, that's what many mothers have done. When I think about Susanna Wesley, who was another God-fearing mother that God greatly used to rear 19 children. Can you imagine that? 19 children. This was back in the day and time when they had children. I mean, and they had a lot of them. Can you imagine 19? Hey, that'd be a reality show for the Wesleys today if they were living in our generation, our day and time, having 19 children. But this was what Susanna Wesley did. It says what a saintly Susanna Wesley was, the mother of 19 children, including John and Charles Wesley. She dedicated her large brood to God and did not consult child guidance textbooks for guidance as to the preservation from evil in the lives of her children. Here are the 16 rules she laid down over 200 years ago for keeping her many sons and daughters in the path of righteousness. I believe these are rules that we could follow today and still raise our children and rear our homes and our families after a godly sort. She said, eating between meals, not allowed. You say, boy, that'd be a terrible thing. What do we do to our children nowadays? Boy, we feed them garbage, don't we? We feed them junk. Instead of, hey, if you don't eat your meals, no eating between meals allowed. As a child, they're to be in bed by 8 o'clock. Man, that's unheard of today, isn't it? Children going to bed by 8 o'clock? They are required to take medicine without complaining. Woo, boy, that'd put a damper on a lot. Subdue self-will in a child and thus work together with God to save that child's soul. In other words, you've got to learn to break that wheel in a child. You've got to learn to break the wheel in the child. You don't want to break the spirit in a child, but you want to break that wheel, because many times children have a very defiant type of wheel. And that's what Susanna Wesley did. She saw the need of breaking that will, but not the spirit of a child. She said, teach a child to pray as soon as they can speak. Man, isn't that good? Hey, that's good advice for mothers. That's good advice for fathers and for parents to teach your children to pray. Hey, many parents, many mothers won't even teach their children to pray because they're not in church themselves. I tell you, that's a sad thing of so many today, is there are not many examples of what they should be when it comes to the Lord and His work. Require all to be still during family worship. Man, wouldn't that be something? Give them nothing that they cry for, and only that which they ask politely for. To prevent lying, and there again, let me go back on that one just a minute. I'm going to tell you what happens, and you've seen it as well as I have. Child asks for something in the middle of a store somewhere. grocery store, Walmart, service station. They don't get what they want. Next thing they are is they're floundering down in the floor, kicking their feet, hollering, screaming because you hadn't given them what they want. I'll tell you what, you ought to give them what they deserve then. And that's a good spanking. I realize today that's not politically correct, and that's not very, not what the world wants to hear, but that's what they need. A child left to himself will do what? Bring his mother to shame. To prevent lying, punish no fault which is first confessed and repented of. Good advice. Never allow a sinful act to go unpunished. When the child has done wrong, punish him for it. Never punish a child twice for a single offense. Commend and reward good behavior. Any attempt to please, even if poorly performed, should be commended. Preserve property rights, even in smallest matters. Strictly observe all promises. Require no daughter to work before she can read well. And teach your children to do what? To fear God and to fear the rod. I'm going to tell you, those are some good lessons that can be learned from Susanna Wesley. Now, as we consider the life of Hannah, we know in the first part of 1 Samuel chapter number 1, the Bible describes Hannah as being the second wife of Elkanah. That right there caused trouble. One wife's difficult enough, right? Can you imagine having two of them? And you know, you've heard it said, as I have as well, when it comes to mother, if mom is not happy, nobody is happy. Well, Elkanah had two wives. One of them, she had children. Hannah had no children. And Hannah was bitter in spirit over the fact that her womb was barren. She was unable to conceive and to have a child. And you can imagine the difficulty. In fact, Elkanah's his first wife, Peninnah, she would provoke Hannah because of all this. She knew the turmoil that was there and the conflict that was there, and she did things to try to keep things stirred up with Hannah. But Hannah patiently waited on the Lord, and she prayed and she sought the face of God. But let me give you these principles right here, these thoughts right here on what Hannah taught her son Samuel. She taught him, first of all, principles. Principles. This is rules to live by. This is good advice for every mother, for every father, for every parent that is here today. When it comes to your children and bringing your children up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord, let's follow the example of Hannah. She taught Samuel principles. She taught him rules to live by. She taught him the Word of God. Now I realize in the days of Samuel, they did not have 66 books contained in one book that is called the Bible. But one thing that they did have the law of God, as the Bible tells us there in the book of Exodus. They had God's law. And the Bible says there, as the Bible says in verse number chapter 20 of the book of Exodus, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. This was a lesson that she taught, the principle of one God. Even as we know in the New Testament, as Paul described there, that there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave him his life a ransom to be testified in due time. Says, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is in earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. These are the things, these are the principles that Hannah taught Samuel, was the law of God. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. As he goes on, honor thy father and mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. That's the principle that Hannah had. She taught that to Samuel. That's why Samuel became a God-fearing, God-loving man that God greatly used to prophesy His Word. She taught him principles. You as a mother today, let me challenge you, teach your children. Bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Teach them the Bible. Teach them principle. But the greatest principle you can teach them is to be an example. Live up to that. Live up to that. Hannah lived up to that type of lifestyle. What she taught Samuel, she lived it. She was not inconsistent in the ways of her living, in her lifestyle, in her mannerism, in her conversation, in the way that she dressed, in the way that she conducted herself. Everything was after a godly sort. Hey, if Proverbs chapter 31 describing the virtuous woman, I'm going to tell you we could go all the way back to Hannah's day, and Hannah was that virtuous woman. She was. She taught Samuel principles. The second thing she taught Samuel was patience. Patience. You know, patience is something that is difficult for any of us. Of waiting. Waiting. Can you imagine? Can you imagine here this, and some of you can feel and sympathize and have compassion upon her, but I'm going to tell you, she wanted children. She wanted a child more than anything, more than life. It's sad to say that we have so many today that are going out. They don't want their children, and they're giving their children up for adoption, and they're murdering their children at the hands of the abortionists out there in these hospitals and clinics and all of that. Sad to say, but yet they call themselves mothers. Hannah wanted children. It ought to be the desire of every God-fearing, God-loving woman out there today. That's only natural. Now, I realize Brother Sean mentioned it Wednesday night, but about the feminist movement today, and I'm going to tell you the woman's movement today says, hey, you know, I don't want all of that. I don't want all of that excess baggage. My career is more important than my husband. My career is more important than my family. My career is more important than my children. I'm going to tell you, there's no greater calling, no higher calling of God on this planet than that of motherhood. And to be a God-fearing, God-loving mother that loves your children, that teaches your children principle, that brings them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. We wonder why Samuel turned out the man that he did was because she was consistent in her lifestyle and in her example. As I quoted, train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. That's why Samuel became the man that he was, because of what he learned at the feet of his mother Hannah. She taught him patience. Patience. Because she had to learn to wait on God. She had to learn to wait. Yes, she went before God, and she had to wait for God's timing. I realize today that that can be very difficult. But it's one of the greatest lessons that we can learn in life. You've even heard me make the statement before. Don't pray for patience. Don't pray for patience. Why? Because when you pray for patience, you're asking for tribulation. You're asking for trouble, because that's how we get patience, is through difficult, through hardship. And that's exactly what she was enduring. She was enduring literally hell on earth at home. Hell on earth at home. She had to hear Elkanah's first wife and bragging about her family, bragging about her children, and her with a desire of wanting children. Do you think it was easy on Hannah? It wasn't. To be persecuted day in and day out? Hey, you're the one that doesn't have any children. You're the one that doesn't have favor with our husband. You're, and all of this. Can you imagine what she had to endure? Patience. But through it all, she remained patient. As the book of James chapter 1 reminds us, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptation, knowing that the trying of your faith worketh what? Patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. It was that patience that Hannah taught her son Samuel, and so that when he was tried and he went through difficult days, that he would be able to endure the hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Hannah taught Samuel principles. Hannah taught Samuel patience. But thirdly, she taught him perseverance. Perseverance. The ability. And folks, I'm going to tell you, moms out there today, one of the most valuable lessons that you can teach your children is to not give up, to just keep on keeping on, whatever they do. I remember my mother growing up. You've heard me make this statement before. I'd come home from football practice and I'd be beat up. I'd be black and blue from the top of my head down to my toes, and I'd be whimpering and whining, and she'd always tell me, she said, when the going gets tough, the tough gets going. Get out there and get it. Quit that whining. Today, we let our children whimper around and whine around. When they don't want to do something, we just let them quit. Quitters never win, and winners never quit. That's another statement that my mother taught me growing up. That quitters do not win. She taught me perseverance. She taught me strength and endurance to continue to fight the battle, to persevere and not give up. That is the same lesson that Hannah taught Samuel in the very short period of time that she had him, up until the time that she weaned him. Hey, she didn't have Samuel but about 12 years. About 12 years old when she turned him over to Eli there in the priesthood. She taught him to persevere. Because that's exactly what she did. Hey, through her discouragement, if she wanted to justify it, Hannah could have justified her action and just said, God, I've had all I can take. I'm ready to give up. I don't want any more. I can't take any more of this. And she could have just given up everything, but she didn't. She kept on. She kept fighting the good fight of faith. She kept laying hold unto eternal life. She kept persevering for the glory of God. I've quoted this many times before. Brother Sean used it a few Wednesday nights ago in one of his sermons. But Dr. Bob Jones Sr. used to say that the test of a man's character is what it takes to stop him. Is what it takes to stop him. And for some, it doesn't take a whole lot to stop you. A lot of times people get discouraged, get defeated. They give up on God. They give up on church. They give up on their families. They give up on their marriages. They give up on everything. Reality, life is hard. Life is difficult. Don't give up. Keep pushing. Keep pressing. That's why Paul said that we have to forget those things which are behind. We have to reach forth unto those things which are before. And that's why he said, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Hannah taught Samuel principle, the law of God. She taught him patience. She taught him perseverance. But fourthly, she taught him prayer. Prayer. I feel somewhat ashamed in my home with my children growing up. I didn't pray with my children the way I should have. I prayed with my children. There wasn't a meal that we ate that we did not pray for, whether we were at home or abroad. But there were times that I didn't pray with my children. But I'll tell you this, my children never went to bed at night that their mother, Donna, what kneeled beside their bed praying with them and for them every night. That did something for them. Now my children, they're grown. They have their own families. They're not perfect. But I'm going to tell you, both of my children serve the Lord. Both of my children have made professions of faith. And they serve the Lord to the best of their ability. I'm thankful for that. Why is that? Prayer. Prayer. The prayer of a righteous mother. That's it. Hannah taught Samuel how to pray. She got results in prayers. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine that? You know, we talk about prayer, asking. The Bible said, ask and it shall be given. Seek and you shall find. Knock. That's talking about persistence in prayer. She didn't give up. God, I want a child. God, I want a man child. I wonder how many hundreds of times that she prayed that prayer. She prayed that prayer until she conceived and she bore a son as God had promised her. That was one thing that she instilled in the life of her son Samuel, was that the urgency of prayer and the power of prayer, that things can get done through prayer. Why do you think throughout the rest of the book of Samuel there that you'll find numerous times where Samuel found himself on his knees before God, pleading for God, pleading for God's people? Why? Because he had seen his mother. The example of his mother praying. She taught him prayer. That's one thing that ought to be etched into the mind of every child, is that you can remember seeing your mother pray for you and know that she was praying for you. To hear the words of those prayers. I've used this illustration many times before, but back years ago, I think it was during World War II, there was a very, very important mission that had to be accomplished. This was pretty much a suicide mission. They knew that. The commander already knew that whoever elected and said, hey, I'll be the one, whoever volunteered to be the one that would go and do this particular thing, they knew that it'd be ultimate death. And so they got a volunteer. A young man raised his hand and he told the commander, he said, I'll be glad to do it. He said, I've just got one request. One request is all I have. And the commander said, what is that request? He said, if I can wait to do it till 4 o'clock this afternoon. He said, why 4 o'clock this afternoon? He said, because I know at 4 o'clock my mother's going to be praying for me. He did it. The mission was successful. And the man's life was spared. I wonder why. It was because his mother was praying for him at 4 o'clock. Hannah taught Samuel how to pray. The fifth thing that Hannah taught Samuel was the purity of life. The purity of life and how God blesses and rewards those that live a godly lifestyle. Listen to here in verses 14 through 16. And Eli said unto her, how long wilt thou be drunken? Now we realize that Hannah was praying with a bitter spirit, vowing unto God that she wanted a son and desired a son. And as she was praying, Eli the priest saw that her lips were moving, but there were no words coming out of her mouth. And he perceived that she had been consuming wine and that she was drunk. And that's why he said, and Eli said unto her, how long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thy wine from thee. And Hannah answered and said, no, my Lord, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. She knew that she needed to live a pure and holy and a God-fearing life. She had not given herself to wine nor to strong drink. Verse 26, count not thine handmaiden for a daughter of Belial. Don't consider me as one that is a daughter of the devil, is what she was saying. What was she saying? She was declaring the purity of her soul and spirit. Don't put me in that category, is what she was saying. What was she teaching her son? She was teaching him the purity of life. And how God expects us and wants us to live. God rewards righteous living. And that's what she instilled in her son. That's why he lived a righteous life before God and before man. And why God greatly used him. She also taught him purpose in life. Purpose in life. Her purpose was to do one thing, and that was to rear a godly seed. I'm going to tell you, it would be amazing if we had women today that was their desire. If we had mothers today that were willing, that was their whole purpose in life, was to rear a godly seed, to bring up somebody. Do you realize, think about it here this morning. Do you realize as mothers today, we don't know of the Moses that are out there. We don't know of the Joshuas. We don't know of the Samuels. We don't know of the Apostle Pauls, or we don't know of the John the Baptist that are out there today. We don't know the Charles Spurgeons and the Dwight L. Moody's and the Billy Sundays that are out there that we're bringing up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. We don't know. We don't know what our children will become. But with all of our strength and might and prayers that we offer up unto God, we ought to desire the purpose in life to bring up a godly seed for God, to be used of God. And that's what she wanted and desired. She taught him that there was purpose in life, that there was meaning in life. There's meaning. God has a plan. God has a plan for every individual. God had a plan for Samuel. God had a plan. Look at the prophet Jeremiah. God said, or he said that God before I was formed, you knew me. God had a plan. God had a plan for this man, Samuel, before he was ever born, before he was ever conceived. He had a purpose in life, and he had to be taught that by his mother. And that's exactly what she did. She taught him that, Samuel, you've got a purpose in life, and it's to serve God. It's to serve God. Let me ask you, Mom, have you instilled that in your children's life, that their purpose is to serve God? No, we're going to make sure that we teach them that, hey, you got to make a lot of money. You got to be a doctor. You got to be a lawyer. Got to do this. Got to do all that. You got to be famous. We're going to make sure that we teach them all of that. But what we need to be teaching them is that God has a purpose and a plan for them. And that's what they need to be searching out. That's what they need to desire. And that's exactly what Samuel became. We find last but not least, she taught him to praise God. Yes, she taught him principles. She taught him patience, perseverance, and prayer. She taught him the purity of life and the purpose of life, but she also taught him to praise God. Isn't that a great lesson that you can teach? Have you ever noticed today, and it's not just with the current generation, we could go back several generations. But we're living in a culture, in a generation, we're living in a world of pessimistic people, of complainers. We've got so much to be thankful for. We have been blessed beyond measure. Bible says, this is the day which the Lord hath made. Rejoice and be glad in it. Well, God or preacher, you don't know what happened. Hey, my washing machine just broke down. My car just broke down. My lawnmower just quit running. My house burned to the ground. I just lost my job. This is the day which the Lord hath made. Rejoice and be glad in it. She taught that. She taught that to Samuel, that principle of praising God. Listen to these words right here in 1 Samuel chapter 2 when it says, "And Hannah prayed and said, My heart rejoiceth in the Lord. My horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth is enlarged over my enemies." Hey, she had enemies. You realize her husband's first wife was her enemy? "My mouth is enlarged over mine enemies because I rejoice in thy salvation. There is none holy as the Lord, for there is none besides thee, neither is there any rock like our God." Man, she was praising the Lord. Why do you think Samuel became the man that he was? And a man that could rejoice and praise God even in the midst of troubles and trials. He learned it from his mother. He learned it from his mother. Proverbs tells us that every wise woman buildeth her house, but the foolish plucketh it down with her hands. We owe so much to our mothers today, do we not? We do. We do. Moms, are there room for improvement? Sure. There's a lot of room for improvement in all of us. You may say, "Preacher, well, my children are already grown." That's true for some. You can't go back and relive. You can't go back and change the past. There's nothing that you can do. But you can commit today, this morning, that I'm going to be all that I can be for the glory of God the remainder of days that I have. You know, I've said before, as a parent, I've got a lot of regrets. I've got a lot of things that if I had the opportunity to go back that I'd do differently today, but unfortunately I can't do that and you can't either. But I've said by God's grace, and I have. I've apologized to my wife, I've apologized to my children over the years, and I said I can't go back and change those things. But I commit to you before God and before heaven today that I'm going to do my very best to be what God wants me to be and to be the example for you the remainder of days that I have. That's all we can do. I hope today, even though there may have been mistakes made and failures that have happened, I pray today that you'll make that commitment along with me today that's what you'll do. And that you'll say, "By God's grace, I'm going to be a better mother today. Even though my children are grown, I'm going to be a better mother. I'm going to be a better grandmother. I'm going to be a better father today. I'm going to be a better grandfather. I'm going to be a better husband. I'm going to be a better wife. I'm going to be a better child to my parents. I'm going to honor my parents the way that I should. My mother and my father. I'm going to do better with God's help." You say, "Preacher, that sounds like a vow." That is. Hannah made a vow to the Lord. And one thing that she did, she taught Samuel that when you make a vow, that's one of those principles. When you promise God something, you better fulfill it. She fulfilled her vow. Let's make that commitment. Let's make that vow today that we're gonna, with God's help, we're gonna do better today. at whatever role that we have, motherhood, fatherhood, parenthood, as a child to a parent, a spouse to a spouse, we're going to do better today. Will you make that commitment? I hope that you will. Let's stand together this morning with heads bowed and eyes closed. We thank the Lord so much for the life of Hannah and the example that she had. Lord, we see that life relived in her son Samuel. Samuel became what he was. Yes, we know it was God. But it was through the help of a God-fearing, God-loving mother. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you and praise you for your goodness. I pray now for this invitation. I pray that if you have spoken to a heart, Lord, I pray that that one would yield and submit to you, whatever it is. Lord, I pray that many have felt, Lord, my desire this morning as well. That, Lord, that we could all do better at what we do. We can be a greater example, especially to those that are around us, the younger folks that are around us, to our children, our grandchildren. As we sang that song, I pray today that they see Jesus in me. I pray that one day that my grandchildren will be able to look back and they'll say, my pop loved the Lord. My pop was faithful. My pop served Jesus. My pop did what was right. I hope that they'll be able to say that one day about me. It's all in your hands, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. What number, Brother Sean?
634, third stanza, O the poem where Christ is Lord and Master, 634.
Amen. Amen. Think about this morning. Think about the good things that your mother taught you. Good things. I still remember some of the songs that my mother taught me growing up. I remember my mother carrying us to church. She didn't drop us off. She went with us. We were in church all my life because of her. I'm thankful for the godly example that my mother I'm not a mama call preacher, by the way. I'll tell you that. She didn't call me. But I'm going to tell you, she prayed for me. And I know she still prays for me. And I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful that I still got my mother here. And if you do, be thankful today. If your mama doesn't, if you don't have your mother here today, she's already gone home to be with the Lord. Just those fond memories of what she taught you. Those special moments that are near and dear to your heart. God will bless you. God will help you till you see her again one day. Amen? Amen. Brother Sean, if you will, come and dismiss us in prayer.
Well, we pray that you would give us